In today's episode of the Foden Beat Show, we'll speak with Paul, aka That Paul, about his fleet and his VSD, and then follow up with some news about the second round of the Swiss. Welcome to the Foden Beat Show, a weekly podcast about the Star Wars Armada Vassal World Cup. Hello and welcome. I'm Rythos42, and with me today is my co-host, Armchair Jedi.
Hello there.
Joining us today is Paul. How are you doing today, Paul?
Oh, so far so good.
Fantastic.
And thank you for having me here.
You're welcome. It's good to have you here.
Welcome.
The first question we've got right off the bat, there are a lot of Pauls in this community. Which Paul are you?
That Paul.
That Paul?
I thought so.
Yeah. Or otherwise, PT106, as I was on FFG forums.
Okay, good. Good. I know sometimes when somebody gets matched up against Paul in some tournament, they have to go through a list of Pauls and figure out which one is which.
And you were PT106 last year's VWC, right?
Yeah.
How long have you played Armada for, Paul?
From Wave 2. So after ASD was introduced, did miss Salast event, but started to play Armada more or less immediately after that.
You took the SSD in the last VWC. How did it do for you?
I said it did well. I didn't get it out of the pod that time. Got some bad luck and rolls. A game versus Hawk that did cost me the pod. I got a Hawk to one hull, but didn't finish it.
You are one of two VSDs in the Swiss right now. And generally, the VSD is not considered a competitive ship.
A good ship. You don't see it very often at the higher end of events. And yours is quite beefy looking. It's a VSD-2 with Harrow Beck Gunnery Team Engine Tech, die caps, quad battery turrets, and PDIC. So that's not cheap. How's that working out?
It does work pretty well, I would say. And I'm a bit of a contrarian, so I do like to play underdog contrarian fleets, as there are pros and cons, even as people don't expect a contrarian fleet, and that itself is an advantage. As far as this VSD is concerned, it's I think of it as a pocket ASD, a bit cheaper version of ASD that does what ASD normally does for you. Less survivable, same amount of damage.
And I imagine that if you feel pretty, like if your VSD is really good, and if you feel really practiced and strong with it, that somebody might go into it looking at it and underestimating it, and perhaps that gives you an advantage as well.
I think that's might be the case. It did happen in one of my LVO games. I did go to LVO and did make the cut.
Right on. You made the cut at LVO. That's excellent.
Way to go.
Yep.
How did you come to the VSD as your choice of contrariness in the VWC?
I needed a ship that can punch and at long range. And essentially, the fleet that I'm flying at World Cup is a long range fleet with a mass gunnery team. So it's a double Simoon fleet in disguise. Once I loaded my ASD and counted the points, checked what ship can fit the bill, and VSD2 had a perfect fit, because that's a way to throw 6 or 7 dice at long range. And it did cost less than 120 points.
And that kind of answers one of my other questions as well, is what does it bring to your fleet that another ship wouldn't have? And it turns out the answer is it's a little bit cheaper and fills a similar role that you're looking for.
I think that this is the only ship that would allow to throw that amount of dice long range without going to extremes.
Yeah, your list is full. It's 400 points, no squads. So you've used every single possible corner of your points to get the most advantage. So, and it seems to be working for you. So great.
How did you end up feeling against your pod opponents that you played against?
I think I had good games, and I did have an advantage, given that I had two separatist players, and obviously they were outgunned. The last game was versus Imperial player, and versus Separatists, the issue is have 3 or 4 ships, and I do have gunnery teams, means that I am winning the damage race. And now it's a question of time, and can I kill opponent ships faster than they can kill me? And it did work out.
How did your pod games go as far as wins go? Did you win all of them, or win just barely enough?
I did win all of them. I think it was 7-7-6 or 8-7-6.
Yeah, Yes, 7 versus Musterer. You had 8 versus Weston, and then a pretty narrow 6 against Xantos.
Yep, and that was the last game, and the goal was not to lose, because that would guarantee me a place out of the pot. And it did work out.
How is your Swiss performance going so far? Who was your first game against?
First game was Spike, and that was just a bad matchup for him. Because that was a SATA fleet with 2 Hammerheads and Assault Frigate.
Oh, yeah. And if you've got a lot of gunnery teams, that's a lot of shots.
Yeah, that's a lot of shots. And it's just too much of a difference. So, and it did show ended up as 10-1.
So, and then how did your game against JJ's Juggernaut go? He's a beast of a player.
Oh, yeah. He's a very good player and a very sporting player, very a gentleman. And he did have a plan. Some of his plan did work out, some of it didn't, and he did have cold dice. So that I was able to lose a VSD and table him last roll round 6.
Wow, that's impressive. Coming out of this, do you think that you're going to be advocating for people to take more VSDs? You're certainly showing that it's got a little bit more competitiveness than common wisdom might assume.
So, VSD is hard to play and advocate for the points. There are several specialized roles that VSD can take in the fleet. And one of them is the version of VSD I'm playing. And I can see an option for a cheap VSD one. With a hero and either just external Rex or acting as a projector with projection experts. There are several roles. VSD can play these roles. Unfortunately, it does need a bit of help to be played in a more generic role.
I'm curious too, because I mean, not only did you, I mean, you've got a VSD, which is widely viewed as, you know, one of the more subpar choices. Admiral Mahdi is a great generalist commander, but not as powerful as a Ramadi or a Sloan, for example. You have no squadrons. You went squadless the whole time, and you've been very successful with that. I mean, how do you kind of how do you explain this run of yours, given those pieces that you don't consider normally to be parts of a winning tournament run?
I'll say it's a part of a contrarian strategy, as well as the fact that I do enjoy playing double ASDs and do normally play Mortis Cardinalis or Low Squadron double ASD lists. And that's a variation of that list with VSD fulfilling the role of one of ISDs. And there is a strength there and something that other players might miss. And Morty does synergize with VSD specifically, because it does put it just above the line in the damage race. So can be sure that this VSD will not be one shot. It will shoot, and it will provide a value for the points.
Maybe putting that another way, you've taken two things that maybe aren't really super apart, but create great synergy together.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to frame it. Because the fleet does synergize, and it does synergize a lot, and I am exploiting that synergy.
Well, I'm definitely pulling for you. I'm a bit of a contrarian myself, as Rythos knows from the games we usually play together. And I've always had a soft spot in my heart for the VSD, so I'm really happy to see one doing well, and really excited to see it move on and on and on, and hopefully into the eliminations.
Hope you're right, and thank you.
Well, I think that's the end of our questions for tonight. Thanks very much for joining us, Paul. It was great talking with you and hearing about your VSD. And as Iron Char Jedi said, good luck in your Swiss performance.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem.
Our pleasure.
And now let's review last week's Swiss events. Armchair?
Thank you, Rythos. So last week finished up a little bit late, and it affected this week's. We still have one game left to be played in round 2, and the time has been extended until the 17th. We're recording this on the 15th. What I can tell you is, on table 1, Broba Fett faced off against my old podmate, Cylindrical Bobcat, and Broba got the better of it for a 10-1, 374 MOV win. He's really making a case for a second top 4 finish and maybe taking the grand prize. Broba Fett sits at 20 tournament points and a 774 MOV after 2 games. On table 2, friend of the podcast Paul played JJ's Juggernaut. Paul continues his meteoric climb to the top with a 9-2, 237 MOV over JJ. Paul started the Swiss in the 23rd seed and now sits second with a 19 tournament point and a 637 MOV. Down on table 5, Rold faced off against MHD, and Rold finally met his match. Some cold dice let MHD's ISD limp away, and the match ended with a 9-2-255 MOV for MHD. MHD is near the top with 17 tournament points. Rold and his general tag fleet are at 10. On table 6, Louis André faced off against last year's runner-up Angry Ewok. It was a very tense game, but Angry Ewok's dice let him down badly. The game ended with a 9-2 and a 2-2-7 MOV for Louis André. Louis André is on 16 tournament points and could still edge into the elimination round. Angry Ewok needs two spectacular final games and a lot of help to make it back to the semis. On table 7, Sam got a big 10-1 400 MOV win versus Outbound Flight. On table 8, Garrett's CR90 lost a staring contest against Fox Omega's Recusant, and Garrett lost the match on a 6-5, but only a 43 MOV. I got this report from Fox Omega. Garrett parked his Kraken flagship at close range of Patriot Fist on the off round of Shumai. I'm assuming that's where the math came in for the calculated risk. I had X-Rax and a Con Fire ready and rolled well. He YOLO'd a roll against my Muni with his fire on the CR90 and got salvoed to death. While that happened, Adar, Lando, and Asteroid Tactics created one of the worst super teams I've ever had the displeasure of being on the other side of. Thanks, Fox, for that quick battle report, and congratulations to both of you on a very, very tight game.
And the calculated risk was fun. There's a meme in the VWC chat that where it shows that off.
Yes, I was, as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, I got to know what the story is behind that one. On table 9, one of our locals, Maturin, won a close 7-4-1-2-1 MOV over Duckbird. This despite some merciless mission fratricide, as both of their Republic fleets brought Mercy Mission and tried to kill each other.
If they're both playing a Mercy Mission, shouldn't they just let each other pass?
You would think so, but clearly one of them was not on a Mercy Mission this time. On table 14, Dark Raver's SSD got its first win of the Swiss, defeating Taserface with an 8-3-192 MOV. Dark Raver sits at 12 tournament points and has a long uphill climb to make the semis. And finally, on table 19, Dreadlord Loki got a big 426 win over Spike. Spike is having a rough Swiss, getting hit by two hot fleets in a row, first Paul and now Dreadlord Loki. Spike is sitting on 2 points after two rounds, and as the person in his seat last year, I feel for you.
I'm sorry, Spike. I hope you get a non-ISD fleet next round.
Well, I mean, on the bright side, when you're on that end of the Swiss, hopefully it can only get easier from here. So that's the end of the round 2 Swiss updates. As it stands right now, after two rounds, there's one game still outstanding as of February 15th. It's lower down in the Swiss, so it won't affect the top end of the rankings. Right now, Broba Fett is in first. He started in first, and he's got 20 tournament points and 774 margin of victory. Second place is Paul, up from 23rd, with 19 TP and a 637 MOV. Third place with those big wins was Sam, coming up from a 12th seed and now sitting with 17 tournament points and 489. Just behind him is MHD, moving up one spot from 5th into 4th with 17 TP and 400 MOV. There's a bunch of people close to them. Louis André has got 16. M. Musterer and Unskilled First Officer are both on 15. And Horngrim, Green Knight, and Aresius are all on 14. They could all bump into that top four mix with some good games in the next two rounds. Now, the interesting thing is, when we talk about these Swiss standings, that's just where you are in the Swiss portion of the tournament. To move into the elimination round on the top four, they take the total of your Swiss points and your pod points. And that can have some interesting interactions. If you're somebody who just squeaked into the Swiss, you're going to have a much, much harder time getting into those top four. You're going to be, quote unquote, penalized out of the gate by having to face one of the higher ranked players in the first round. Plus, you've got a much smaller pool of points coming out of the pod to build upon to try to get into the Swiss. So when you combine the points out of the first two rounds of the Swiss with the points from the pods, the standings for the elimination round are as follows. Broba Fett, still in first place with 48 total tournament points. MHD would be in second right now with 41. Paul would be in third with 40. And there'd be a tie between Sam and Louis André at 39 points for the final spot. Aresius is just outside with 38.
Now with that tie, do you know which one wins the tie?
So Sam right now has 39 TP and a 1,116 MOV. Louis André only has 769 MOV. So right now, that fourth spot would be held by Sam based on the MOV tiebreak.
You know, something I'm really liking about the podcast that we're doing, a little pat on our own backs, is I now know more about these players and how they got here than I did last year. And I think that's really interesting because now I've got a couple people that I'm actively rooting for. For example, Paul feels like a really good underdog story. And especially having talked to him earlier this evening, I really am hoping for Paul to get into the elimination. And then the next bit is, having been beaten by Sam quite thoroughly, I also hope he does really well, because if you're going to get beat by somebody, you want to get beat by the guy who's doing the best.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, I think Paul might be a bit of a dark horse. I mean, you heard him speak about his success that he's had at the LVO and the really sort of thoughtful way he's built that fleet. So I feel like you can look at maybe some of those choices with the VSD and Mahdi and Squadless and think that, you know, this fleet shouldn't be doing as well. But I think having spoken to him, like you said, it really kind of gives us a peek behind the curtain. And I think there's a little bit more there than it might look like at first glance. So I feel like Paul's got a good dark horse kind of chance here. I'm also pulling for Aresius. I mean, he was the winner in 2020. He's had a lot of success in the top over the past few years. It'd be cool to see him get back up to the top as well. And of course, I'm always pulling for Rold and General Tag, because how awesome would it be to have General Tag in the top four?
Now, what's MHD's story prior to this event?
So last year, MHD made the Swiss, but very low seed. He had a Moff Jerry fleet that only got 18 points out of the pods. And he went, he had 2 points, 4 points, 3 points, and 4 points. And he finished 34th overall.
So that's quite improvements from last year. Good job, MHD.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, he was in a tough pod last year too. He had Geek19, Res Proteus, and GM Thrawn. And then ended up facing Garrett, Big Papa Palps, Cameron, and Docta, friend of the podcast, in the Swiss. Now, this year, still with Moff Jerry, but he had a much better pod showing against the Red Scourge, Severus Snape, and Star Wars Master. He came out first in his pod. And then, yeah, those two games, one against B2W in the Battle of the Acronyms, and then this round versus Rold. Rold. So, I mean, you know, you look at the standings, and Broba, MHD, Paul, Sam, Louis-Andre, Aresius, throw a Muster in there, throw GK Horngrim, unskilled first officer. I think all these people have a good chance to move on, and it's really exciting to see that. And obviously, you know, we're getting into round three that's going to make or break some of these people's runs. So this next round is going to be really important, really tense, and hopefully it'll set up some great round four drama. Something that we were kind of looking at earlier was the commanders that people have brought. And when we talked to Biggs in the very, very first episode, he mentioned that there's a great representation in Republic commanders, that the most popular commanders overall were a couple of CIS commanders. So I wanted to kind of revisit that now that we're into the Swiss, and with a look at, you know, look back at the pods and also how they're doing in the Swiss. So coming into the pods, there were 8 Martuk fleets, there were 7 TF-1742 fleets, and then 6 each for Admiral Akbar, Grand Moff Jerjerad, and General Ramadi. Now looking into the Swiss, that's changed around a little bit. You still have Martuk on top, 5 out of the 8 fleets have advanced. Moff Jerjerad is in second place now with 4 fleets, 4 out of his 6 have advanced. Akbar is still hanging in there with 3 out of the 6 fleets, but there's a new number 4, and it's Kraken. 3 out of 3 Kraken fleets advanced to the Swiss. If you're wondering about TF-1742, that went from 7 fleets down to 3, and Ramadi went from 6 down to 2. So interesting to see Kraken bubbling to the top there, and then TF fleets kind of flowing downwards. There are 9 players so far in the Swiss who have gone 2-0, which is just under a quarter of them. And interesting to note who their commanders are. I mean, there's some here that are obvious given the numbers I just went through. 2 of the 9 play Ramadi, 2 of the 9 play Jerjerad, 1 of them plays Sloane, Boba Fett. But the other commanders are ones you wouldn't expect to see. Admiral Mahdi from our friend of the podcast, Paul, has gone 2-0. A Krista Agate fleet has gone 2-0. And 2 Republic commanders, Plo Koon and Luminara, have also gone 2-0. So just some interesting stats that I have found while I'm playing with my spreadsheets and my charts. If anybody's looking at my big old spreadsheet, I have been doing some work in the chart section for the Swiss. Still a work in progress, but hopefully there's some interesting stuff to look at there now in terms of squads and commanders, comparing the pod performance to the Swiss performance. And more to come, of course.
Well, that's it for tonight. I'm Rythos42.
And I'm Armchair Jedi.
And may the Force be with you.
Always.
Thanks for listening to The Food and Beat Show. We don't have a Patreon or Apple reviews for you to give us, but if you have a story you'd like to tell us or feedback on the podcast, write us at foodandbeatarmada@gmail.com or on Discord. Listen to us next week for more Vassal World Cup commentary.